Okay.
We are like, I don't understand how this has happened.
It's not a we are like, it's an Ashley is like. This is the third time, and hopefully it's the charm, because I don't ever want to have this conversation again. I know.
Okay. All right. So, background. Almost 2 weeks ago now, it was not this past Monday, but the Monday before that, Ashley and I were talking about Homeland stuff spurred on by this ask that we had received. We were talking about all kinds of things, season 5, season 6, Quinn and Carrie and Quinn dying, allegedly. And I was just like, do you want to just do a podcast about this? And so we did it on Monday. We recorded, and it took us forever. We were on the phone for like over 2 hours. And then about 10 seconds after we finished the call, Ashley began to frantically call me on the telephone. And I was like, I was about to get into the shower. And so obviously I didn't pick up the phone, but I was pretty late at night, and I was like, no one else would be calling me right now. And we had just hung up the phone. So
it wasn't that late at night. It was a Monday.
It was like 9.
Yeah.
Okay. Much later than you're usually up.
Exactly.
But I knew that it had to be you, and I knew that something was wrong with the thing because you never call me. Turns out that Ashley had deleted her side of the recording, so all we had was basically me talking to myself.
The last time I called Sarah on the telephone was when I locked myself out. Actually, I did not lock myself out. I just could not figure out how to unlock her door.
Right.
But I did come home with bagels.
Right. That was, I think, the only other time before that you had ever called me on the telephone. So then we tried again a few days later, and we're about an hour and 20 minutes into the conversation, and Ashley says, Sarah, stop right now. And I was like, what? What's wrong? And she's just like, I'm not speaking right now, but the recording is picking up your voice. So Ashley had been recording herself as well as a like muffled version of my voice for almost the entire time. And so I was like, I was actually kind of annoyed. I was like, Ashley, why is this like so difficult for us? I think that God doesn't want us to record a podcast with just the two of us. Like, if I believed in God, then I would think that that's
absolutely, well, I think that problem. God is just trying to save us from the asks that we're going to get.
This is totally like the horror movie when they try one time to get into the scary house and they don't do it, and then they try again and you're like, oh my God, just turn around, go home. But they keep on insisting. It's kind of like in the movie Hocus Pocus, like right before he's about to light the candle, when the little sister's like, please don't, please don't. And then he does it anyway. And then they almost die when the three witches come back.
Okay, well, thank you for the spoiler.
That movie is like 25 years old. That's not a spoiler.
I know. I have it on VHS tape.
It's like, please. It's like, it's impossible that you've never seen it.
No, I haven't seen it.
What?
I haven't seen it.
You've never seen the movie Hocus Pocus?
No, I have it on VHS tape, I said, but I haven't watched it.
You're lying.
No, I'm not.
You've never seen the... What? How is that possible?
I don't know. How is it possible that you don't know who Ricky Schroeder is?
Because I was born in the year 1991. Like, what? You... Like, that movie came out, like, in the prime of your childhood. I don't understand
that. So I would like to point out that you're calling me old, which also explains why I would be fucking up the podcast.
Oh, my God. Technologically. I can't believe that you've never seen the movie Hocus Pocus. That's not really a spoiler. It happens in, like, the first 20 minutes of the movie. And it's, like, the entire premise is that they bring the witches back from the dead. Anyways, it's a topical reference, and we're watching that
It's a topical reference because it's almost Halloween.
Yes, so it actually makes sense.
It's taken us so long to get this done.
I know. We recorded this, like, in the second week of October for the first time. Anyways, I think that God really doesn't want this to happen and is protecting us from the backlash. But So Ashley had been recording both of our voices the entire time, and I thought that it would be okay in the editing process, but we...
It turns out I broke my microphone.
Yeah, it doesn't work for some reason. It just is a hot mess. And so now we're trying for a third time, and if it doesn't go right this time, then I'm giving up, and y'all will just have to not know how this turns out, and no one will ever hear this, actually, so... Anyways. Of idea behind this podcast and what we were talking about was we got an ask now like 3 weeks ago.
It was published on October 16th, 2018. So we actually, it has only been 13 days since our podcast originally because we recorded it the night before it posted.
Right. So we got the ask and I read it and I was like, oh my God. Like, it was not a bad ask, but I was just like, I don't have anything to say about this. So kind of sat there, and I think that you wanted to respond to it since you related to the person. So that kind of inspired this entire conversation. So do you want to read out what the ask said?
I will read the ask since I just scrolled all the way through six entries on hellyeahhomeland.com to get to it. We don't post very much anymore. Anonymous sent a message, which they sent like a week before this actually went up because we're terrible. I finally don't feel any grief or hate for this show. I know. It took a while, but hear me out. It seems that the perfect ending for Homeland would have been that moment in season 4 when they sit together talking about Carrie's father and the letters he wrote to Saul demanding she would be brought back from overseas. I love that scene. There is no unfinished business. The kiss never happens. They're sad he's gone, but they're all home. And that gave me some feelings.
Elaborate. What kind of feelings?
Well, it gave me feelings about how that would not be a very Homelandian ending and how very foolish we all are / were to think that we're going to get anything remotely resembling that kind of piece from this television program. And if the show had ended in season 4, as I would have accepted, I would have really only felt like it was Homeland being Homeland if it had ended with Quinn blowing Carrie up. Right. Which he did not like.
Oh no, I think that ending sounds like total shit. I could actually see, I could not see the show ever ending at that scene. So I think we've termed it the lasagna scene because it's the scene where Lockhart arrives and he brings the lasagna and they're all sitting around the table and blah, blah, blah. Just because, yeah, you're exactly right. It's not Homelandian enough. I could see the series concluding at the end of the episode the way that it was, like when she's driving off and she's just learned that Saul has betrayed her and Quinn has left for Syria because he couldn't wait 20 minutes for Carrie to...
Okay, we acknowledged it was an hour.
1 hour. Quinn cannot wait 1 hour for Carrie to call him back, so he decided to go to a war.
Yeah, he did that.
But one thing that I thought was interesting, and we talked about this the first time that we recorded, was just about how you felt like seasons 5 and 6 were kind of just, I forget the terming that you used, but just they could totally be thrown out a little bit. I don't remember exactly how you termed it, just how those seasons just kind of like don't exist for you in the Homeland canon.
Well, I mean, anything after season 4 does not exist for me in the Homeland canon, as much as I really enjoyed season 7, and I did. I liked Carrie's story arc, and I liked having Maggie back, and I liked seeing where they went next. But as far as I'm concerned, and this comes on the heels of a lot of television shows, I think television shows are either canceled too soon or they live way past their best buy date. And like for me, two of my very favorite shows, Buffy and Angel, should have ended two seasons before they actually did. So I appreciate the things that came next in both shows, and I appreciate the things that came after season four in Homeland, if we're ignoring seasons five and six. But I think that I think that the shows are just, you can sort of begin and end canon where you want it to, and that's what fic and conversations like these and blogs and everything in fandom really have to do. But I think that for me, the show canonically ended at that scene where Quinn has gone to war after a girl said, I don't know, to him. And Saul has betrayed Carrie in such a serious, lasting way. And Dar's like, ha 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 ha, because he's got an evil, maniacal laugh that I cannot recreate because I'm a girl with a Valley Girl voice. So that's where the series ends for me, and everything else is kind of just bonus.
I think that's super interesting. And as you were talking, I thought of a few things. So first is that I think that seasons 1 through 4, even though we usually think of seasons 1 through 3 as being kind of a complete unit, and season 4 beginning the trend of like rebooting the series, I actually think that seasons 1 through 4 kind of fit really neatly together, especially in terms of how season 4 concludes. I think it tells the Carrie Quinn story actually in a very complete way. Like if season 4 had been the series finale, I think I would have felt like, you know what, that seems right to me. And even the fact that it was kind of like an ellipsis and not necessarily a period, like I think made sense for that relationship, and it inspired kind of a lot of wishful thinking, I'd say, between season 4 and season 5. But I think kind of telling the complete story about Carrie's grief for Brody and how that related to her being a mother in season 4, I think that was, that kind of called back a lot to the previous 3 seasons. And I think that the Carrie Saul relationship and how that concluded. And lastly, I think Carrie's relationship with the CIA, right? So just kind of in the ups and the downs that you know, we've experienced in the first 3 seasons. And then finally she gets her kind of dream job in season 4, and she becomes totally disillusioned of the entire thing. And I thought that that would have been a very fitting conclusion, because seasons 5 and season 6 really struggled with like how to get her back into the headspace where she could even go and work for the CIA again. I think that just goes to show that season 4 was really a conclusion in that regard. And to answer your question about, you know, whether or not I've ever experienced that with any show, I don't know. There's definitely shows where I felt like they went on, you know, 1 or 2 seasons too many. There's definitely shows where I just like to forget entire seasons, like The Gilmore Girls. I completely disregard season 6, not season 7, which I feel like is
well, season 6 was awful because Lorelai and Rory like didn't speak for half of it.
Season 6 was so fucking bad. Like there are no good parts to it. And I think that season 7, which is the one, which is the last season, it's the one where the creators weren't involved. I think it's underrated. And there were actually a lot of good moments in it. But I don't know if I've, like, if there's ever been kind of a stopping point where I'm just like, okay, this doesn't exist, or, you know, like, because I think that season 5 and 6, they're interesting. And this is kind of, I guess, like the next stage of our conversation. Season 5, I felt like had a really cool concept. And I was really interested in the concept of Carrie being happy, clearly. and I loved the setting. The problem with season 5 is that it made no fucking sense. Do you remember when it was like a few weeks ago, and I was like, hey, can you like explain what the season 5 plot was to me? Because I was like, I think that this is what happened, and then this other thing happened, and that's how they were related. But I was like, oh my God, it was so confusing. There were like 5 different plots that somehow were all equally important and got like the same amount of screen time. It was so weird. And the one saving or like the thing that makes it even weirder is that they told a storyline about Quinn dying but then didn't kill him. And then that leads me to season 6, which is, I think, season 6 is the season that they never intended to write. They never thought that they would actually have to do it. So I think it contains a lot of things that they had meant to do in previous seasons or were saving up to do in later ones. You know, for example, they killed Quinn in season 6.
Allegedly.
So they told a storyline about Quinn dying in season 5, and then they chickened out, as far as I can tell. And then they did it for real in season 6. I think that the whole drama with Carrie and Franny and CPS and stuff like that, that was kind of repeated in season 7. I don't think that they intended to repeat it. I think that they were like, I don't know. It's so weird. There's just so many aspects of season 6 where I'm just like, throw it out. Like, I think it's trash from start to finish. And I actually think that everyone involved in the production of the show from top to bottom, I think, like, start to finish, it was just bad. It was like not good.
It was not good. And
it was shockingly not good.
See, it's just, I started watching Homeland live in season 5, and I remember
I bet that has something to do with you feeling like canon stops at
season 4. Sure, for sure. No, definitely. That's
right. I didn't know that.
Yes, you did.
Then I forgot and then just remembered when you said that. But I think that has a huge impact.
It really totally does. Yeah. But the problem with Homeland after season 4 for me, and this did not happen in season 7. Like, to be clear, this did not happen in season 7. Was that seasons 5 and 6, every single episode, I was like, they've written themselves in a corner, but I can see how they would write themselves out, and they never did.
Like, could you give an example?
Well, things just kept getting worse. Like,
oh,
season 5, when Quinn is septic, like, you can see how they could have written themselves out of that.
Right, he just, like, would have gotten better.
He would have just gotten better. Like, they could have done that. Season 6, they could have, like, when he was in the asylum, like, they could have had Dar do something. Was Dar in jail? No, Dar wasn't in jail until season 7. So, like, they could have done, like, a bajillion things different.
Well, you're just talking related to Quinn.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's mostly what I was concerned with, because Carrie has plot armor. Nothing is going to happen to Carrie on Alex Gonza's watch. Like, nothing that she can't come back from. At least not until next season.
Theoretically. who knows how 7 months in a Russian prison will have impacted her. Like, that might actually be the thing that she cannot come back from.
God, I don't even...
We're not going to talk about that now. Anyways. Okay, so Quinn. Yes, they definitely wrote themselves into a corner with Quinn. I would say in season 5 and 6 repeatedly, and they it's my opinion that they wrote themselves into a corner at the end of season 5 with Quinn dying and then miraculously made him survive. I don't think that the conclusion of season 5 supports him living at all. And there are lots of details that I could point to. I think the most significant one is the letter. So the fact that they revealed the letter again in the finale of season 5 and Carrie reads it, and it's very moving and seems like a conclusion to their relationship and to his character on the show. Like, that was all just like, it made sense. Like, for people, like, it just made sense to me. I think the fact that you said that, you know, they kept writing themselves into a corner in regards to Quinn, but just didn't write themselves out of it, even though they could, I think just goes to show they didn't really know what to do with the character after a certain point. They just, because they didn't want to do the romance thing, they just didn't want to. I think that the kiss in the season 4 finale was basically them, like, throwing a bone to the fandom. I don't think that they were that into it. Yeah, I just don't think that they ever intended for that to be a romance on the show. I think that they intended it to be a very moving and close friendship that that became fraught with resentment and guilt and all kinds of things, and Quinn's love, I think, would remain kind of unrequited.
I think that's interesting to have a story where Carrie Matheson, like, after Brody, like, is not open to the love of someone who loves her so unconditionally, which was never an issue with Brody because he never loved her, I don't think. I think he was using her. I think that she was an escape for him. Mm-hmm. I think that she was as much, like, it was as much a taboo thing for him as it was for her because she was tracking him the whole time. I don't ever think there was love from his side. And I don't think that, I don't want to say that Carrie's love for him was sincere. It was just fucking misguided, and they only knew each other for like 11 days.
Carrie definitely loved Brody. It was definitely a misguided love, really messed up, but I think it was sincere, and I think in that, I think that she did actually love him a lot. But yeah, it was totally misguided, and Brody did use her in the same way that I think Carrie used Quinn. Carrie knew, I think, at the very least, you know, in the middle of season 4 that Quinn loved her. And I think she used that, not in like a totally malicious way, always. It's not like I think she always had good intentions or anything.
But what was the timeline of season 4?
What do you mean?
Like, how long was season 4 from beginning to end?
Oh, like, very short. Maybe, like, 4 weeks? I don't know. Not that long.
So, I mean, if you're even thinking about it in that context, you're like, well, okay, so Carrie, maybe mid-season 4, realized how Quinn felt about her, and she took advantage of that. That's not, I mean, at the end of the season, so we'll say at most 2 weeks after she was like, okay, this guy is in love with me, he fucked off to Syria.
Okay, so I just don't, I understand your argument in terms of like actual real time, but I do think the show is taking liberties with that, and it doesn't totally bother me that, even though one episode,
it doesn't. When is Franny's birthday?
I'm saying the the timeline and how they mess up the timeline, that does bother me. It doesn't bother me, though, that although one episode might take place in a day, in our minds, it seems to last a week, since that's how long it is between episodes. Like, I get how they use that as a device. And to answer your question, Franny's birthday would be in September timeframe, not at the beginning of April, as the show tried to argue in season 5.
So, whatever. I mean, my favorite show, as everyone knows, is 24. So I am not at all in any way just unfamiliar with the concept of things seeming to take place in a week that actually take place in the span of an hour.
Well, yeah, yeah. That's a very extreme example.
It's a very extreme example, but it is something that I do come back to when I'm thinking about Homeland, because having, I mean, I do have 24 ships. I do have characters that I love, and I've only spent 9 days with Jack Bauer, if we're just using this example. But it's just, I feel like it's really important to take a step back and say, okay, well, how much time did this character actually have to make these decisions? Because most television shows, at least the shows that I grew up on, and I would guess most of the ones you grew up on, take place over a 24-episode season with like a 6-week hiatus over Christmas and then another hiatus in the spring. So it does take place over the span of a year within their universe. So when it comes to things like this and with 24, I think that people are really more accustomed to thinking that a lot more time is going by than it is. And it's not just because of the week gap between episodes. It's because that's what they're accustomed to.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that's a factor. You're right, though, that if Carrie realized sometime in season 4, I think it had to have been pre-405, that Quinn was in love with her, that Quinn loved her, and then used that to her advantage. And then when they finally kiss and she's like contemplating being in a relationship with this guy, and then an hour later he fucks off to Syria, that is weird.
God, it's weird. He's so dumb. They're both so dumb, but he, like, that, we, I have gotten into so many arguments with Sydney and Franji and Zeffy and Lar,
but never with you, me, because I agree with you about this.
Right. But I've gotten into so many arguments with all of these people whose hearts are with Quinn, and I'm like, but literally he didn't wait an hour. Like, she was like, okay, I'm gonna go see my mom, and apparently I have a brother, and like, what the shit? And he's like, so you're saying you don't want to be with me for the rest of your life?
And she was like, no, that's not what I said. And then he leaves. It makes no fucking sense. Like, I think the diplomatic way that I've expressed this in the past is that they both made mistakes. They were both at fault. They both.
But her, like, dad just died. She buried him yesterday.
I definitely think that Quinn is more at fault than Carrie. But if I say that, no one's going to listen. They're going to be like, duh, like, of course you think that. I think that they both didn't. It's so weird because, well, it's not weird, they're really bad at communicating with each other. Like, that's their MO, is that they can't do it. And at a time when, like, clear communication was so vital to that relationship continuing on in some side, like, in some sort of prosperous way, they, like, were completely misinterpreting everything, possibly willfully. Like, I kind of think that Quinn wanted her to say no to give him an excuse to leave, because,
oh, he totally did.
Yeah, like, it was kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy in many ways.
I mean, as Astrid said in season 4, like, this is a
thing.
This
is what he does. Yeah, this is what he does.
He, like, says he's gonna go, and then he doesn't.
And then he doesn't.
So, like, at this point in time, he decides that Carrie is what he needs. She's like the key to him getting out. So of course he doesn't want her to say yes. Like, he wants to want her to say yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, oh God, it's so funny. So I was, I don't remember what exactly the context of this was, but remember after season four in about March, they did the Paley Fest panel. Uh-huh. So the first one in 2015. And I think that everyone was still in like.
Met our friend of the pod, Jordan, correct?
Yep. Yes. Yes, exactly. And so that was kind of, the fandom was still in that kind of post Carrie Quinn glow a little bit. There was no understanding or acknowledgement of the fact that Quinn leaving could have like actual consequences long term. That was when they first revealed that the series was, or that season five was going to take place in Berlin and that Carrie would have a boyfriend and all these things. And everyone was like, what the fuck? Like, what do you mean that Quinn didn't just like come back and they didn't just like reunite and everything? It was a total shock to a lot of people. That was also when Alex Carey said that Quinn would be really different in season five and that he would be like, or that they would show kind of a darker side to him. And at the panel too, when they were taking questions from the audience, I think someone asked about the Carrie and Quinn relationship to Claire. I don't remember exactly what the question is. It was just about romance and why do you think that the relationship is resonated or something like that. And so Claire starts off in her like
Claire way.
Yeah. Anyone who's ever watched her in some sort of like, whether it's a panel or an interview where someone asks a question and it's not like a very clear cut response, she'll just start off and like ramble and ramble and ramble. And I was in the audience when this happened, and even in person, her answers don't make any sense, but it's endearing, I think. Anyways, but she was talking about how people like to watch romance and all these other things, but she said something really interesting about 412, which was that Carrie and Quinn were kind of in this post-traumatic state from Islamabad and what had occurred at the end of the season, and they were kind of in like a post-traumatic like a state where they just weren't thinking clearly and acting rationally. And you could take that to mean that, okay, that was why Quinn left. But I think that she was actually implying, okay, that's why they kissed is too, like her dad had just died. You know, it was like the night of his
funeral.
So she had trauma on top of trauma, and no one likes to hear that, like, their ship, like, when the two people finally do kiss, that it was, like, a misguided thing. But that's, like, the show's MO, is that Carrie's always doing things that are misguided in relation to the men in her life. Like, Carrie doesn't make good romantic and sexual decisions. That is her, like, one of her trademark characteristics. But I thought that was really interesting, and I had forgotten that she said that until I was rereading old posts a few days ago. I think that's a really interesting kind of interpretation of that scene, is that they were both kind of acting out in a way. And I have always thought that, like, I never understood why Quinn was like, you want to get out too, we can get out together, because it never seemed before that like Carrie wanted to get out.
No, it's just an assumption, because wouldn't you want to get out after what had just happened?
Yeah, I think he was projecting on her because he knew that he couldn't do it alone, so he needed so badly for her to want to get out, or at least to get out. And I thought that was always strange. I was like, well, Carrie didn't want to get out after what happened in Islamabad. It wasn't until the stuff with Saul happened that she left. So it's like I always thought that was strange.
Well, I think that she would have. And I think that if she'd had time to process it, she would have been like, holy fucking shit.
Well,
but she didn't have time to process it because Quinn fucked off to Syria.
I don't know. I think that what would have happened is that there would have been, I mean, because they kind of modeled the end of season four off of the Benghazi attacks. And I think that similarly, there would have been congressional hearings and investigations and things. And she would have had to testify and it would have been like a fucking nightmare. And Saul would have been out because Saul was still out at that time. I don't know. I'm thinking maybe she would have stayed in and done something domestic again.
I don't know. I still very... I've had my feelings about Quinn, especially lately, because I am just not going anywhere good with the sentence. But I still want to believe that they could be happy. Like, I still want desperately to believe that. I know that you don't.
It's not like I don't want them to be happy. I just don't think that they could ever be happy together. I think it's literally impossible. Well, now it definitely is because he's dead. But even when they were both alive, they were just too messed up. They were, oh my God. I mean, I once thought too that they were, like, they were the two people who could actually save each other. Season six, I think, exposed kind of how, and I mean, season six is definitely an extreme example because Quinn was in such a bad way and there was so much like resentment and so much guilt and sadness.
Oh, after season five, they were like totally no way.
Impossible. Yeah. But I think that season six was kind of interesting. It was like, oh, so you've always wanted them to live together. Ha ha. This is what happens when they live together. Like, he literally takes her daughter hostage and, like, shoots out the window and SWAT team's on site. It was like a total fucking disaster.
It was. It was such a disaster. But I mean, like, I've always kind of felt like, one of the things that came up before I knew you and when I would talk about you behind your back to other people was that, and it's something that we're very, very similar in, it's that we both dig our heels in and we get very contrary. Okay, we're like 12-year-olds in that way. And I have always kind of considered Alex Gonza to be similarly a 12-year-old girl. Insofar as he's like, okay, well, this is what you want. I'm going to, like, make this as disastrous as I possibly can. And then you're just going to rue the day. You'll rue the day. And, like, that's how I thought of Alex Gonza sort of after season five and definitely after season six. And then we just get to season seven and it's like, are you shitting me? Like, season eight is just going to be...
I can't even imagine what season eight is even going to be like.
I don't want to. I don't think I'm that twisted. But... like, I swear to God, that is how Alex Gonza processes things. He's like, what?
I don't I mean, I actually don't think that he cares or even has a pulse on, like, the fandom. I think he has a pulse on, like, the audience at large, but that's really different from the fandom.
It's really different from the fandom, and I just have such a hard time acknowledging that. Most people in our fandom do.
You touched on that in the response to the ask that we were talking about at the very beginning in terms of your reaction to the end of season five and a friend who is a very casual viewer and how you guys both got something way differently out of the finale, which I thought was interesting.
And he got me into the show in the first place. And let me tell you, he lived to regret it.
I'm sure you did too.
Well, no, because I got you out of it, Sarah.
Oh, that's so nice.
Oh.
It's interesting. So you come from the land of 24, and so does he, but what you thought at
Gonza does not five, originally. Gonza did not want to be part of 24.
I'm talking about your friend, not Alex.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Okay.
But your, like, what you got out of the season five finale is, oh my God, Quinn is alive. And what your friend did was, that was a really good ending to his story, which is so interesting how people could watch the exact same episode, the exact same season, the exact same series, and then get completely different things out of it. And I think that that's
but to
so
be
interesting.
Clear, I was right.
You were right, but I think that leads us to something very interesting, which is that, and again, I was rereading Live Journal posts from the very beginning of season six, I think, a few days ago. It was really interesting to
remember when you asked me how to do the Live Journal.
Yeah, I was just like, I don't understand this. I still don't quite understand it. But I think, well, not I think. I know the mistake that a lot of us made, including me, is that after Quinn seemed so positively dead at the end of season five, and then they brought him back, and they only waited about 3 weeks to tell us that actually Quinn was alive after the finale aired. And I was convinced that he was dead. I was so totally convinced. I didn't waste any time telling people. I think he's 100% dead. I didn't even understand arguments for why he could be alive. Like, it didn't matter. Like, it didn't have any bearing on my thought process that he was beloved by the fans. I was just like, but they're telling a story where he's clearly going to die. Like, he hasn't even spoken in the last three episodes because he's been in a coma. Like, I just thought it was pretty clear cut.
See, that was just so fucked up to me because he was like a main-ish character, like, to, because from what I understand,
he was
like,
but so
people
was Brody.
Weren't sure.
I just didn't think that.
I know, but Brody had lines. I mean, Rupert Friend had the easiest job in the world in season five.
Anyways,
like,
but
he got paid
I just
to sleep.
That it was...
Do you have any idea how much I would live for that?
To just lie in a bed and get like
$50,000
for doing that? Yeah, yeah, that'd be nice. Anyways, I thought the end of season five was very obvious, that he was dead. And then they revealed that he was alive, and I was like, huh, I don't understand that. If you guys want to listen to a podcast that I recorded with Jen, who was, she joined us on a few podcasts.
Sarah
about,
didn't know me yet.
Yeah, I didn't know you yet. About our reaction, because we were both convinced that he was dead, and that kind of post or the podcast after everyone found out that he was alive, I was just like, I was like grasping for truth. I was like, this doesn't make any sense. It really shook my understanding of the show a lot. But then the show was off for a full year, basically. And that was an entire year to contemplate what it meant for Quinn to be alive after it seemed that he was so surely dead. And it was an entire year for me, too, to contemplate why I had kind of miscalculated so greatly, thinking that he was dead when he actually turned out to be alive. And what it led to was this, which was a false conception. And I can see that now in hindsight, but thinking, so what I had observed was this, was that they wrote a storyline where Quinn seemed so clearly like he was going to die, and then kind of at the last minute there was a fake out and he survived. And so what that seemed to me was like, okay, well then he is bulletproof for the rest of the series, because you can't do that to a character twice. I interpreted the last minute survival of the character as an intention on the part of their writers that they actually wanted him alive. Instead, the correct interpretation was that the entire storyline of bringing him to the brink of basically dying, including the letter, including the coma, including all of that, that showed the clear and much stronger intention that they just wanted to kill the character. And that's what I didn't understand until fairly recently. Like, I went into season 7 still not understanding how Quinn could have died, because it just didn't make any sense to me when they had done a similar kind of storyline one season before that. And I think that actually what I had failed to understand was that the intention was still there. They just decided to carry it out. And they did a similar sort of thing with Brody too, where, you know, they had intended to kill him in season 2. They didn't, and it's not like they wrote a storyline in season 2 where it seemed like Brody was about to die or anything so drastic as that, but they definitely had the desire to do it. They didn't, so they waited one more year and then they did it. So I think that kind of precedent is there too. I just failed to make that connection. I think that we were all in this kind of groupthinky behavior about it. The more people believed that Quinn could not possibly die because he's beloved by the fans, which means that, like, you can't kill off a fan favorite. But, like, Brody was beloved by the fans too in a very big way as well, and they didn't care.
So I think for me, it's not even about the fact that they wanted to kill him in season 5 and didn't, or...
But you definitely think that they did want to kill him in season 5, but they just didn't.
Oh, they absolutely wanted to kill him at some point. I just don't know when. It was, like, the thing was, he kept almost dying in season 5. Like, he got shot. He was septic. He got into a fight with some terrorist thugs. He ended up in a gas chamber. Carrie woke him up from his coma. Like, there were like 8 individual times in season 5 when Quinn probably should have died. And I am so used to 24, where Jack Bauer survived literally dying on more than one occasion. And it was like, well, clearly they're just like, the whole twist is going to be that he lives. Like, having him die was so anticlimactic. And that's actually what was brilliant about season 6, was because season 5, they had him almost dying, almost dying, almost dying, almost dying. Every week we were like, is he going to make a miraculous recovery, or is he going to die for real? Mm-hmm. And then by the time season 6 rolled around, Quinn was bulletproof, as far as we were concerned, because they weren't going to do that twice in a row. And they didn't. They didn't, because they had him so close to death so many times in season 5, and in season 6, up until the very last episode, we thought he was fine.
Oh, absolutely. Although you had predicted, though, that he was going to die throughout season 6. And then once it happened, 3 seconds after we actually saw it, you were like, no, there's no way he's dead. This is wrong. It's impossible.
Yeah. I stand by it. I stand by
it. I think that what season 5 showed, and how it was like there were like so many different points at which the character could have died, and it seemed like he was just getting into worse and worse straits, is that he was kept apart from Carrie for the bulk of season 5. And I think they had absolutely no clue what to do with the character when he wasn't with Carrie at all. Like, no clue.
So if he's not with Carrie, he's in peril.
I think that it was
the
like
opposite of how things should be, honestly, given Carrie's existence.
I think that it was something like, if he's not with Carrie, then what are we gonna do for drama? And it was like, I know, let's stab him, let's have him attempt to drown himself in a river, let's have like, it was like all these like bits. This all of this like crazy shit that they just, I think it just shows that they weren't that confident in the character's ability to maintain the audience's interest if he wasn't in either mortal danger or with Carrie. And season six was kind of the same way.
I mean, I think that we were really tricked, and I know some people are going to really hate me for saying this, but we were really, really, really tricked into thinking Quinn was a more interesting character simply by virtue of Rupert Friend's performance.
What do you mean?
I think that if you look at Quinn's lines written on the page, you kind of don't actually get it. Like, the hype of Quinn is
the character Rupert was very Friend. Weakly written, and Rupert Friend did a good job of disguising that in his performance.
Oh my god, he did an incredible job, and I don't have any strong feelings about Rupert Friend, but his performance of Quinn, like, should go in the books as one of the brilliant, the most brilliant, like, I pulled this out of my fucking ass performances in the history of cinema. Yeah.
I think,
like, we cared about a character who had no, the first time I watched Homeland, and I've said this to you before, but you clearly forgot. I watched seasons 1 through 3. And not even all the way.
I know this part, yeah. Right. I remember this part.
But I was so attached to Brody. So then I didn't rewatch it and, like, get really into it until after season 4. And for the first, I don't know, 34 episodes of the series, I thought that Quinn was short and kind of, like, nerdy. And it wasn't until I rewatched the show and decided to focus on a different character that I was like, okay, he's actually, like, super tall and kind of hot.
I think that Quinn didn't view him that way,
and Carrie didn't view him that way.
I think that Quinn was kind of a stereotype of a character, and Rupert Friend made it seem not like that. I still think that his performance in season 6 was incredible. I just don't think that the writers didn't value him one millionth of the amount that the fans of the show, like the extremely devoted
fans. Well, I think that everything we need to know about how the writers and the people behind the scenes felt about Quinn and about Rupert can really be gleaned by the fact that they wrote the monkey scene for him. And they were like, yeah, we just kind of put stuff in the script to see if he'll do it.
I love that scene. That's a good scene.
I mean, it made it so clear to me on just a molecular level that they didn't actually give two shits about what happened to Quinn. They just kind of wanted to see, like, what shit they could throw at the wall.
I think that season 6 is a failure on so many levels. I remember reading that one interview with Ron Nicewainer where he's talking about how in the writer's room, every single scene has to move the plot forward. And so if they have an idea for a scene, but it is just about the character and it's not revealing, like it doesn't actually move the plot of the story, then they throw it into the trash can. I remember reading that. I was like, what the fuck? Like,
they throw
what
it into the trash can like Quinn tried to do to himself?
Yes. I was just like, what the hell? That doesn't make any sense. And I think that season 6 was plagued by that kind of thinking. Season 7, though, was so good. And it was such a departure from the previous two seasons.
Because they weren't weighed down by Peter Quinn.
Yeah, exactly. I think that the character was just, they just didn't know what to do with him. And it was kind of just like this thing that they had to write around every single episode. Because they're like, what are we going to do with Quinn this week? Like, they just didn't know. Because they didn't want to do the romance so strongly. Like, they had such strong feelings about not wanting to do the romance and about making that relationship as depressing and as bleak as possible that they didn't know what to do with him. And even the attempt to write that kind of veteran, sort of wounded soldier storyline in season six ended up kind of ringing hollow at the end. I don't know. It was, season six is just such a clusterfuck. It was so bad. I don't even like thinking about it. And I'm like rewatching the series now and I'm just like, what am I going to do when I get to season six? Like,
I think part of also what's interesting about Quinn and carrying Quinn and this fandom in general is how very much the ship benefited from Vic.
Well, it kind of created this aura where it seemed like the relationship was so possible. And even now reading things like, oh, we were promised a romance. It was like, no, we actually weren't promised a romance. And I don't think that in canon you could, I don't even think that you could point to the kiss and be like, we were promised a romance. Look at the kiss. Because it's like, look what happened 20 minutes after that. He like went off to Syria to go fight a war because he didn't actually want to be with her. I don't know. It's so, I just don't think that we believed that we were promised a romance, but I don't actually think that the writers did that in canon. I think it's very clear now looking back, and season seven crystallized a lot of this for me, because when I went into season seven, I was totally convinced that Carrie loved Quinn and that they did have some sort of bizarre romance between them. Thinking about it now, looking back, seeing how season seven played out, it's like, no, they didn't. I think that the writers really only ever viewed them as like very extremely close friends.
So I obviously disagree with that, but I come back to season four and I think of the way season four ended. And if it had been any other show, if it had been anything else, then season five should have been Carrie and Quinn finding each other again. Like, realistically, in a storytelling sense.
Yeah, and like, that's what all of the fic that was written after season four was about, too. That shows you kind of where the fandom's brain was.
In a world full of stories, like, that is where that story was going to go. But this is Homeland. So, and we didn't expect that.
So you think that the natural progression after season four, when they kiss and they're contemplating beginning a relationship together, but Quinn manufactures a reason to leave to go to fight a war, and then Carrie is so betrayed by Saul that she gets out of the CIA and has no idea what to do. You think that the natural progression of that story in the universe of storytelling is for them to find each other again?
Yeah. Okay. And I think that's where it was sort of, I think that's what tripped everybody up, because
I think that season four and the finale shows their true intentions for that, is that it like could have been a romance.
Doesn't
it
was matter what their very intentions were.
It, like, what it, do you like, mean it doesn't matter what their intentions were? That's what we're talking about.
Well, no, I mean, it doesn't matter what their intentions were, because like conventional storytelling up until this point in my life would have led in the direction.
Okay. What's your, okay. All right.
So it has nothing to do with what their intentions were or what they wanted or what they.
But when we're talking about people saying that we were promised a romance by the writers, or that the writers wrote a romance between them, then you're talking about the writer's intentions.
And well, right, but I'm thinking that historically, based on the things that we've all, I mean, there are twists in literature everywhere, but I am saying that in this particular situation, I don't think that there are very many, that there are very many stories, films, television programs, books, anything that would lead you to believe that this was going anywhere except Carrie finding Quinn.
Okay, that's a fair point. At the same time, everything that happened in season five, like, was not surprising to me. Like, it wasn't surprising that they picked up 2.5 years later and Carrie had moved on and had found a new person, and Quinn was extremely messed up, and that when they did kind of find their way back together, that there was a lot of unpleasantness between them. Like, I don't really know what the right word is.
I mean, he was this makes me think of Jack and Audrey, and she was pissed 24. At him.
I don't know, but I think that's a fair point that conventional storytelling was that this was a romance between them. Is that that's what we were expecting.
And
we
I
were
think expecting that's where it
because
people
that's
land.
What we have been conditioned to expect by other stories. But I guess my point is that when you go back and look at the totality of that relationship from start to finish, from 204 to 612, I'm not convinced it's a romance at all. I think
okay,
that it is just,
but
I think it's
you
platonic.
You are benefiting very much from hindsight.
I know, but that's what I'm saying.
It's
I think
a complete,
that if you look
if
back
I only
at
know
it,
now what I thought I knew then.
I think you're exactly right that I am looking back on it and I can see that. But so I'm not faulting anyone who believed in the moment that this was a romance because I did too. And I think that you're right. We had a lot of factors on our side to lead us to believe that. But I think that looking back on it now, that was never the writer's intention. I don't think they ever intended for them to have a romantic relationship for a multitude of reasons. And I think that they wrote that relationship more often than not as a friendship that was complicated by sexual tension.
No, and I understand that, but I think that just generally, I think what this conversation tends to do to people, and I'm only coming to this point on our third attempt to record this shit, is that people get really offended and really upset when it is suggested that Carrie and Quinn were not made for each other, that they were not a romance, that things were not meant to be for them.
Why?
And that, I'm sorry?
Why did people get so offended? When
well, I mean,
that?
If you had let me finish my sentence, Sarah, I think that people get offended because realistically, watching it in real time, which I did not do, but like watching it from season one to season four, it is really obvious where it would have gone if it were anything else. And no, we weren't promised a romance, but like logically, that's the road it would have gone down. So I think that people get really upset because they hear us saying, you know, Quinn is dead, which I he say is. Allegedly, or that Carrie never loved Quinn, or that Quinn never loved, or that Quinn, like, his feelings for Carrie weren't honest, or whatever people are saying, depending on the week. And I think it's harder because Homeland is not a traditional show. Like, they don't follow the traditional pathways of storytelling. And it's just the way that things should have gone or would have gone if it were a typical show are very different from what we got.
That's, you're completely right. I mean, I completely agree with you. This is a very sensitive subject. I think, like, if I were to just sum it up, I'd say in real time as we were watching, it seemed like it was a romance, but I think that multiple factors contributed to that. One was that we were influenced by the type of conventional storytelling that you already mentioned. I think the other is that we all just wanted it so bad. Like, it just seemed like we just wanted it. I think there was a lot of groupthink.
Well, and I think for you and I particularly, we love Carrie so much and so unconditionally. And who in Homeland, like, just generally has loved Carrie that much?
Yeah, that
you
was,
want her to be loved that way.
That was a little bit of it for me. At various different points, I definitely did want Carrie to be loved that way. Much and Quinn was the perfect
character. Do you not still want Carrie
did.
To be loved that much?
Well, if you would let me finish, I would explain the second half of what I was going to say, which is that at some points that was the most important thing to
Sorry
me.
Sorry for Sarah-ing you.
at other points. I more wanted Carrie to love him back because it seemed only fair. Like, it just seemed like for the longest fucking time, it seemed like, well, the fandom was always sort of dominated by Quinn people and by Carrie Quinn people. And there are very few just either people who watch the show for Carrie or who, you know, wanted that relationship to not be a romance or, you know, whatever. And it just became so difficult to have to, or like to not be a romance person. And I was just, and so if you believe, like if I believed that Carrie loved Quinn, then I could be a romance person. Like it was just kind of like weird fandom peer pressure at various different points. I'd say it was like most strong in season six though, because season six is so fucking bizarre. And it was,
well, season six was bizarre, and it was, as I said earlier,
it was
today,
it was a weird time for me to like hop onto the Carrie Quinn train again, if you think about it.
It was a weird time for you to hop on the Carrie Quinn train again, but
I guess it actually happened like towards the end of season five, actually. But that's because the beginning of season five was such
you
a nightmare.
You were so into Jonas, too.
No, I still am.
I know. But it was just season four left us all in a really specific place. Season five had us expecting Quinn to die at every turn. Season six had us thinking that Quinn was invincible. And every single person that I have spoken to in the Homeland fandom believed that Quinn was invincible after season six. And that includes...
You mean after season five?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Sorry. But the conclusion to Quinn being alive should have been that Quinn is alive and he and Carrie are in love forever and ever and ever. And that was an issue for... I don't know how badly you were afflicted by it, but I certainly was. I know that our buddies at WT Homeland certainly were. All of our followers were. Franji, Lore, Zeffy, Angela, everybody on our blog. I mean, I think that you were the only one who it sort of felt like you weren't impacted by it. And that's why everyone hates you, Sarah.
Wait, that I wasn't impacted by what?
Well, you weren't as invested.
In Quinn.
In Quinn.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No. I had very little investment in him as a character, except as it related to Carrie.
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily know. It's really, really hard for me to sort of crystallize how I felt at any given point. But for me, the show has always been Carrie. From seasons 1 to 3, I really loved Brody. When I realized Brody wasn't going to survive, I quit the show, waited a year, went back, started again, decided to focus on Quinn, which, sorry, everybody, I take all of the blame for this. And it was just really, for me, it was about Carrie receiving the love that she deserved. And I know that a lot of people are just focused on Quinn, and I think that's fine. Rupert Friend portrayed him in a really exceptional way. I have not felt inclined to watch Rupert Friend in anything else because his performance of Quinn is so great to me. But it also just doesn't, you know?
It just doesn't. I mean, I think in real time, our judgment's clouded by a multitude of different things. And even in the immediate aftermath, or not even the immediate aftermath, but in the aftermath of season six, nothing made any sense. And I even said and did things now that I regret just... Like, I mean, I still think that season six is trash, and I don't feel any, like, remorse about trashing it on the blog because it's trash. But being so confused about Quinn's death and how could he have died and why did he die and wait, but how did they tell a storyline about Quinn dying in two consecutive seasons? Like, none of that made any sense to me. And it took me about a year, you know, until I think, you know, until season 7 had completely concluded for me to get it. And so now looking back, I do regret some of like the things that I said and the things that I did just in terms of like Quinn's death, because part of the rage, I'd say, and the hatred that the person who wrote into the blog like was expressing was just this complete confusion, like, of trying to make sense of something that didn't make any sense. And I was right alongside of trying to make sense of a thing that didn't make any sense. And that's what I always want to do, right? So, and it was confusing and it was upsetting and it was all of those things. Now I'm not confused anymore because I know exactly what happened and I know why they did it, and it makes sense to me. Doesn't necessarily mean that I like agree with the decision, although the way that they were writing Quinn, like, it wasn't fun to watch. So, you know, like, I would not have wanted to watch another season where they were like torturing Quinn like that, because it was just bad TV. So I don't know, like, it didn't seem like they didn't inspire, like, it doesn't inspire much confidence in me that they would have figured out another direction for the character and that it could have been written well. I think what happened, he was just a character that they didn't, or that they had veered off course, didn't know how to write him off course, weren't completely invested in the character as a vital part of the story, and it showed. And I just don't have much confidence that they would have been able to find something else that they would have, or that would have kind of re-inspired them again, because I think that they did it on purpose. I think they brought him to a point where they just, I don't know, it was kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy, I think.
Well, and I think that ultimately, I think that where this ask resonated with me mostly was just that it's been 18 months, right, since the finale of season 6, a little bit longer. And they're just getting over their anger now. And I completely and totally understand that, because the end of season 6 and season 6 in its entirety was just a travesty. But I think about all of the shows that I have watched to completion, and there aren't a lot, but I've watched a lot of television. And it astonishes me that the people who wrote season 6 and, I don't know, everything going on here was enough to create this devotion, this just people caring about the show so much that even 18, 20 months after like this betrayal, they are still thinking about it and still thinking, you know, I want to get past it. I want to see what happens next. And I find that I think that is what resonated with me most with this ask, and what I find most interesting is just after all of this, all of this loyalty and the betrayal, people still want to,
they're still thinking about it.
Yeah.
Like, they still want to write into the blog and express that and share that, which is interesting.
Like, and they're still healing from it, because, I mean, for us, we didn't actually ever have the opportunity to say, all right, well, I'm done with Homeland for a little while, so I'm just going to see how I feel in a year.
Yeah.
But I think that that's really a testament to the show and the story and the acting and to everything, that no matter how shitty we felt about the show at any given point, we still have people coming back to it, because there are so many shows that I've started and have been like, you know what, this sucks now, peace out.
Yeah, bye. Right.
I am like 8 seasons behind on Supernatural.
Well, that whatever. That show is like a unique example. But you know what? That's interesting that we kind of didn't have the time to walk away from it and get a little perspective, I think. The same way that this person who wrote into the blog, you know, has had the opportunity to do. I don't think we had it until after season 7 concluded. And I think that's interesting because that's when I got all of this perspective about what did season 5 and season 6 mean? What were they doing with the Carrie Quinn relationship? What were they doing with the Quinn character? And it wasn't until, you know, I had the time and the break to think about it without all of the noise of people in so much grief and so much confusion, wondering what were the explanations for this. Like, it wasn't until I had the time to myself to kind of think about it on my own that I think I really get kind of why they did what they did. And I think that I have it, like, I know a lot of people will disagree with me, but I think that I'm right.
Story of your life. I think a lot of people
will disagree with
when
me,
but I know that I'm right. Season 8 is done and we have the benefit of hindsight, I think we'll have a lot more. I mean, I feel like it's obvious to say we'll have a lot more answers because obviously we'll have seen the show through to its conclusion. But I think that we're going to have a lot more room and space to think, okay, well, here's where they were going with things. And as we said,
especially where they were going with Carrie, too.
Well, and like, as we said earlier in the pod, yeah, just about season 6 and them not expecting to have to write it, I think that we're going to have a much better idea of what they meant to do with that season, you know?
Yeah, and another thing that's challenging in this whole thing is that no one really talks about season 6, which again leads to my conclusion that they're all kind of embarrassed by it and they think it was bad, and no one wants to talk about like something that they did that they know wasn't good work. A good example of how season 8 will be extremely clarifying when it's just like, well, yeah, duh, of course it will. It's the last season.
They
but
won't
like,
have an option
for example,
to not talk about it.
For example, if season 8 concludes with Carrie finding a man or something like that, and it is some version of like a happily ever after, if that happens, then that would, it would, like, it would definitely shift the way that you thought about the Carrie Quinn relationship. Like, that's just an example. I don't actually think that will happen, but it's an example of how season 8, I think, will still have an effect on how we view all these things. This is just where I am right now after season 7. So after the season after Quinn is gone.
I still can't see Carrie finding love for a third time.
No, me neither.
It's just, it doesn't make sense. Like, Elizabeth Taylor got married like 8 times, but only Richard Burton was real, you know?
I don't know. I think that, I don't know. I
Are
can't
we gonna
even.
Make bets?
Bets on how the series is going to conclude?
Uh huh.
Before the season starts?
Yeah.
Ugh, that sounds impossible.
Eh.
I could just think of the most twisted, horrifying thing that I could ever think to happen to Carrie, and that will be it. Oh, wait, I already know. It's that Carrie's going to end the series. That's how season 7 ended. They took my series, they took my series finale conclusion and they put it into season 7, which I think I should still get some credit for that.
Yeah, but that just means that season 8 is going to be even worse.
Even worse.
Hopefully it's really just like Carrie and Fran are playing Monopoly. We're doing a puzzle. I think that would be more appropriate given who we are.
Oh my god, if they concluded the series with them doing a puzzle, I would die happy.
Me too. All right, so here's the good news. I feel like we're kind of done talking now.
What do you think the odds are that everything went fine with the recording on both sides?
50-50. But we've only been talking for an hour and a half. So it's like 45 minutes shorter than it was at its shortest.
Yeah. We definitely got this down to like a cool 90 minutes on the third try. Taste of the bones in your bed. Stop asking me that. I handed over all of me. 3 out of 3. I watched it break into. I only wanted half of you. I fall into the trap you made. Fall into your face. Trip up on.